Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You don't need to turn to it because you know the phrase very well, but in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus himself. Now, that raises the question, what is his attitude? An attitude is a state of heart, mind. Remember, you can't separate the two in Hebrew thought. It's an attitude of the heart, therefore an attitude of the mind. So God is saying to us through his word, your attitude needs to be the same as my attitude. The way you think needs to reflect the way I think. So what is his attitude? I spent a number of days on the beach in the last few weeks, which might be obvious. And we holiday in a part of France where it's not a great sort of tourist area. It's quite a small, very beautiful, unspoilt area. Most of the people that holiday there are the local French people. And everything in France revolves around food. So you can go on the beach in the morning and have it virtually to yourself. There'll just be a few other Brits and others from European countries. And then after lunch, the French arrive. And by about 3 o'clock, because the weather was so glorious, there were lots of people, hundreds of people. There's nice big sandy beaches where we were. And, you know, when people are stripped almost naked on the beach, you see the reality. The dreadful, awful reality that some of us try to hide. Because not everybody can have a body like mine. But
come on.
For which, of course, they may be thankful. But I would sit and look at this mass of humanity. And God began to speak to me and say, how do you think I view these people? What you can see is the outward appearance, which wasn't always all that glorious. But he said, I look on the heart. I know what is in every one of these people. And I think we're all aware that God is about to do a very wonderful thing amongst us, camp and beyond. But we need to go into this camp with the attitude of Christ Jesus. And you look at a mass of people like that, obviously most of them very worldly people, quite a lot of young people, because even the early part when the schools were still there about 3 o'clock, you know, they're out of school and all the teenagers come down to the beach, hang out together. And you you look at them all and you think, where is God in their lives? What is God to them? And you realize Jesus died for each one of them. All those hundreds of people on that beach, and Jesus died for each one. Which means that each is as precious as that to him. And yet most don't know him. A great many wouldn't care about him. Lots wouldn't believe in him. Some would be aggressively antagonistic towards him. But still, you can't deny the fact that Jesus died for each one. And, you know, God said to me, look, instead of just looking at these people, pray for them. He said, I'm not asking you to hold a beach mission, but I just want you to pray for them. And he said, if you pray in my spirit, there will be those among them whose lives will change. But I don't want you to pray just because I'm telling you to pray. I want you to pray out of love for them. I want you to pray with the attitude that I have towards them. And I knew God was stirring something very deep within me, because you see, the only reason why God will ever send revival is to enable his people to win the lost. Only when they have his heart for the lost does God send revival. So it was like God reigniting something within me personally. But I knew it was something that was going to be important for all of us. We can't know the frustrations, the agony, the disappointments, the fear, the frustration, the uselessness, the futility, the sense of worthlessness that is probably within all those people and is certainly in the lives of many of the other people that we see around us that we just encounter. Don't even necessarily encounter. You go down to Horsham, Crawley or somewhere, and you just look at these hundreds of people milling around the shops, and it's the same thing. And somehow God wants to reach these people. And you think of Jesus coming into such a situation, where there were just the people all around him in Israel, all with those great variety, diversity of things going on in their lives. Most of them living in spiritual darkness. And he came as the light. In the beginning was the Word. And the next revelation that John brings at the beginning of his Gospel is that he is the light, that is the life of men. And you just realize all these people are in darkness. God showed me quite a lot of what he's going to do at camp, but that will all unfold. But there's going to be a tremendous revelation of his light right from the first evening. Because many will come in darkness. Many believers that have known the light will have been flirting with the darkness. Many will have lost their focus and their vision and need to come back to the light, even from the first evening.
Come on.
But Jesus said of us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. We mustn't, because we believe in the gospel of salvation by faith, we mustn't forget that God has called us to do good works. The good works that are the outworking of that light shining out of us. And the light and the glory belong together. It's the light of his glory. And as I was praying for those people, I just realized that what God desires more than anything else is for the light of his glory to penetrate their darkness. It doesn't take much for that to happen, and a transformed life results, a new life. And what I believe God was saying is those people at this moment, many of them don't want the light, don't know about the light, they're ignorant of the light, they don't have revelation of the light, but you do. So someone needs to be the light for them. That if you have my attitude, you will treat them like I do. Now, what was Jesus' attitude? He said, I didn't come to judge, I came to save. And it's very easy for us to look upon a whole mass of people like that and to judge them. Not really thinking that we're judging them, but actually in our hearts we're negative. We are critical. We think, you know, they don't know the Lord. They don't care about the Lord. Just look at the way they behave. Just look what they're doing. Boom, 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 boom. And the Lord says, you're looking on the outward appearance. Look upon the heart.
Come on.
See the darkness, see the need. Know that in some of them there is a longing for something new. They wouldn't be able to identify exactly what that was. They wouldn't be able to actually express it. But it's there. And all it needs is the light of the revelation of my truth to penetrate that darkness. And to touch the heart. I can see it happening, can you?
Yes. Yes.
I can see it happening. I can see it's not going to be through great preaching, it's not going to be through having wonderful meetings, it's just going to be by the Spirit of God taking that light and shining it into the darkness. And the result is going to be that thousands of people are going to leave the camp with the light shining out of them. so that people living in darkness, wherever they come from, are going to come out of darkness into his glorious light. But there's something else that goes along with this. Your attitude must be the same as that of Christ Jesus himself. By nature he is God, but he did not hold on to his divine status of being equal in heaven with the Father. He was prepared to make himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant and becoming thoroughly human. He was a man in every respect, even though he retained his divinity. Even so, he humbled himself to such an extent that he obeyed the Father's will that he should die the death of a criminal on the cross. He made himself nothing. It's a truism that we know very well here in Kingdom Faith, that we don't live for ourselves, but we live for others. That's what it means to love others as Christ has loved us. And it's very easy to know that, but what does it really mean in practice? Because it's difficult, isn't it, to get beyond that point of being concerned about yourself. And be concerned about what you are going to do at Faith Camp. How God wants to prepare you for what you are going to do. Whereas actually, what he wants to do is to prepare you for what he is going to do. And whatever it means, the truth is that the more we lose ourselves, the more effective we are in reaching others. It's being in that place where you really know in your heart, I can't and I don't have to, but you will if I trust you. If I sort of back off and make room for you, Lord, you will fill the space. And you will do the job. And you will change that life. You will heal that person. You will do whatever needs to be done to set him free. It's not how can I minister to this person so that he gets healed. It's how can God touch his life with the light. Maybe he would speak something through you. Maybe you would pray and lay hands from that person. Maybe that you would do nothing except stand back and trust God and see what he does. Because there's going to be a lot of that at camp. A lot of standing back and watching what God will do. This is going to be a time of answered prayer. But you've got to pray to get the answers. And it's always prayer with faith, isn't it? It's always prayer with that trust, with that absolute confidence. It's not prayer with a question mark, what will God do? It's prayer with the assurance, this is what he is about to do now. It's seeing what the Father is doing.
Yes. That's it.
And this is what Jesus said, isn't it? I do only what I see my Father doing. So ultimately it comes down to this, if our attitude is the same as that of Christ Jesus. What do you imagine the Father wants to do at camp? You see, we could all say what we want. Oh, Lord, we want a mighty move of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, I want you to use me. Oh, God. What actually does he want? What has he planned for this time? What is in his heart for all those people that are there? Some with religious attitudes, some with messed up lives, some really moving with God, some hungry for more of him. Great diversity, all within a single group of people. But what does God want? What is really on his heart? I wonder if I asked you each to give an answer to that question, what you would say. The right answer is very simple. You can see if you've got it right or not. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to reveal himself to his people. That's what Jesus prayed, a great high priestly prayer, that he would make himself known, that he would reveal the Father. John, in his first epistle, talks about this, of how he wants to bring that revelation of himself, of his light, of his love, of his truth. And where does it all begin, this revelation of him? Yeah, he might suddenly, magnificently reveal his glory. He could do that at the beginning, he could do that at the end. He's going to do it, that's for sure. But where does it really all begin? It begins with mercy. You see, mercy can also be translated loving kindness. I've told you before that sometimes, you read Old Testament versions and the word is love. In other versions, the word is mercy. But actually what it means is this loving kindness, this loving mercy, this compassion. Now, when Jesus had compassion for people, he reached out to them and he did something. His compassion always led to action. So what does God want to do? He wants to reveal himself. He wants first and foremost to reveal his mercy to his people. This is why he is so concerned that we are merciful as he is merciful. And this is why he is so strong about how God will deal with those who are not merciful. But you see, do you have a merciful attitude? Do you look at people, even those you don't know, even those you see around you, with that heart of compassion where you want to reach them with mercy? You see, I think sometimes we want to argue people into the kingdom, browbeat them into the kingdom, try to get them to repeat a prayer to get them into the kingdom, do anything to get them into the kingdom. And what God wants to do is to show them his mercy. That's why there's no such thing as new birth without repentance, without forgiveness, without knowing the mercy of God. When we're evangelizing, that's what needs to be a heart. Lord, how can I show this person your mercy? How can you speak through me? How can you work through me that this person will get a revelation of their mercy? Oh, Lord, if just touch their heart, their lives, Lord, with your mercy. Let them see that you care. I don't want to just talk a lot of love talk. I want them to see your mercy, to know your mercy, to receive your mercy. Because then they will know it's all right. That they're forgiven. And you see, in the Christian life, you can't get anywhere without the knowledge of forgiveness, of having the assurance of forgiveness. And people don't get an assurance of forgiveness by repeating a prayer after somebody else, but by meeting God in His mercy. That's why you never pray another person's prayer for them. They've got to pray from their own heart. They've got to reach out to God for the mercy that He wants to pour into their lives. Mercy is the first way, really, in which He expresses His love towards a person, towards an individual. And then, of course, that is rapidly followed by a revelation of His grace. That all they've wanted to do is just to get right with God, because when He touches a person in this way, they realize they're not right with Him. And the reason why they don't have peace in their heart and life is because they're not right with Him. And often God has been touching the hearts of those people for a long time, and they have known that things aren't right, but they haven't known why they're not right, and they haven't known how to put them right. And then along you come with that revelation of the mercy, with the faith to believe God will now touch that person with His mercy. The light of His truth, the light of His love, of His mercy, will penetrate the darkness and will hit the spot, will hit the heart in that person's life. And when you look out at a crowd of hundreds at the children's meetings or the youth meetings or the thousands that will be in the main meetings at camp, not just to see a mass of people, but each one an individual whose heart God wants to touch with that mercy. And even those that have known Him for many years, a fresh revelation of His mercy. A fresh revelation of that loving kindness. A fresh revelation of how totally people are set free by their faith in the blood. In our place in France, we've got one or two of our old CDs and that we sort of leave down there for when other people are using the place. And I was just playing one of those the other day, and some of those old songs were just expressing so much of this mercy of God. You just sense the anointing that was on the meetings and on those songs at that time. And just exalting the blood of Jesus.
Come on. Amen.
That just brings that total freedom into people's lives. Just total freedom. And you realize that this way is God's way of drawing people to His throne, into the glory. Because when we draw near to the throne, there we find mercy and grace to help us in His time of need. You see, I don't believe God is saying we need to go into camp with great faith for great, wonderful miracles. All we need to do is to go with a faith that God will reveal His love. He will touch the hearts of people with mercy. They will get a revelation of His grace. And almost before they realize what's happened, they've been healed. Why? Because they will have met with God. And God will have touched their lives in whatever ways were necessary that have actually been hindering and preventing them receiving the healing that he's been wanting to give them, sometimes for years. What they've needed is not a great work of power, but a revelation of God's mercy, of his grace. You remember that on a number of occasions, people that came to Jesus to be healed said, "Lord, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus, you know, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." That's where it all begins, isn't it? With this mercy. If you haven't got a copy yet of the study edition, get one. I've been using it with such great effect the last few weeks, because you'll find in the back there are all these scriptures around various subjects, and they're there not just for study, but as I say in the introduction, they're there also for devotional use. And I've been praying through these day by day, several of them that I know are going to be relevant for camp. And it's just amazing how when you take a subject that God lays on your heart and you go through one scripture after another, how God builds the revelation of whatever it is, his mercy, his grace, what it is to be in Christ, salvation, the heart. Oh boy, go through the heart one and see what God would do in your heart as a result. Why? Because you see, what he's wanting to do is to reproduce himself in our hearts. And that's why all those things are there at the back of the study version. I think it's going to be something that God is going to use very effectively. And go through those confessions of faith, you know, how to appropriate the faith. Because, I mean, there's nearly 300 of them, and I worked through those in the early part of when I was in France, and I mean, your faith sort of goes into orbit by the time you come to the end of them. And you just realize there really isn't anything for us to do except to trust him. I mean, if we're trying to do stuff, we're not trusting him, but if we're trusting him, he's going to do the doing. And this is what some of you have never seen before. You have never seen a move of God where he does it all. Now, that is his purpose for this camp. Where things will literally be out of our hands, and we won't want to take them back into our hands. That meeting after meeting, God is going to move in and take over. And we won't be spectators, we'll be participants in what he is doing. And you see, I think that's how Jesus viewed his ministry. He didn't come to do a whole lot of great and mighty things. He came to reveal the love of the Father. He came to see people's lives touched by the mercy of God. That's why he didn't go around talking a lot about love. He just drew people into the Father's love. He gave them hope. Yes. That's why all the hopeless were in his congregation. And the religious ones were just standing on the side criticizing him. But he didn't come for the religious ones. He came for the hopeless. For those without hope. For those who needed his mercy. For those who needed his love. For those who needed his grace. The devil's going to hate this camp. Because he's going to see so many people liberated, thousands of people being set free. many of them even being set free of their religious attitudes. Because they're going to meet with him.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen.
So, your attitude, my attitude, is to be the same. Now we're going to pray in a moment. There's prayer and there's prayer. There's many different ways of praying. How we're not going to pray for camp is we're not going to tell God what to do, what he can do, cry out to him, go on and on and on with a whole lot of words in the hope that something will happen.
Right.
We're going to stop. Because it isn't about words.
Right.
It's about the heart attitude. And you see, I've been focusing on camp, but a move of God does not start at camp.
Right.
In one sense, it's already started because God is at work among us. But what he's going to do in the outworking, what I'm talking about this morning, is going to start this morning. See, if instead of a lot of words about what we want God to do, what would happen if we let the mercy of God touch our hearts in the next few minutes? If we let God stir his attitudes in us. See, it's not a question of saying, Lord, give me more mercy for the lost. He said, what you need is a greater revelation of my mercy towards you, and then you will have a greater revelation of mercy towards others. Have you forgotten to be thankful for your salvation? For the mercy that God has shown you? The mercy you need every day, every morning, new every day? Create in me, Lord, the attitude towards my brothers and sisters, towards the lost, towards all those people that I see around me that they seem so ungodly, so profane, and yet you died for them as you died for me. You care about them. You want them to receive that revelation. Lord, let that love that you put in me be expressed towards them, even if that I can only do that sometimes in prayer. Let me use whatever opportunities you give me to share that love. To open the way for your mercy to touch their hearts and lives, and for them then to get a revelation of your grace. Let's all pray. You can sit, stand, kneel, do what you like. But let's pray. Now, we're not going to have a lot of words from up here for the next few minutes. But you're not going to be silent either, just sort of sitting there and going to sleep. This is a time to engage your heart with the heart of Jesus, saying, Lord, I want your heart attitude. I want to see with your eyes. The way God put it to me was like this. He said, Colin, I want to see people through your eyes. I knew what he was getting at. He said, I want the way you look at people, I want that to be me looking at them through you. I want you to see them the way I see them. You might want to say, Lord, forgive me for really the pride that when I looked at other people, I haven't thought of it as judging them, but actually that's what I've really been doing, especially the lost. Looking down on them, being critical of the kind of things I see them doing and hearing them say. But thank you, Lord, you didn't come to condemn, but to save. You didn't come to judge, but to have mercy. Lord, I want that heart of mercy, that heart of compassion, at the loving kindness of the Lord that never ends will be expressed through me. Jesus said, even when people persecute you and revile you, speak all manner of evil against you falsely, you're to rejoice. You're to bless them. You're even to love your enemies. Why? Because then you will give a revelation of his mercy to those who hate you, to your enemies. You will reveal the loving kindness of the Lord. Somebody hits you on the cheek, turn the other one. Why? So you will give them a revelation of mercy. Not resentment, not retribution, but mercy. How often have you slapped the Lord's cheek and he's turned the other one? Because he is so merciful. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say to the Lord, I want to be different, Lord? Different attitudes. attitudes that reflect your attitude. Thank you, Jesus. Potapakara sitari santo bakala sinuma. Popara sitari eleto bakala santo bakala sitari santuma. Thank you, Jesus. Soturi satari eleto bakala santo. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad, Lord, that you've always been merciful to me. Never judged me, never condemned me. Just be merciful again and again and again. Thank you for the light. Thank you, Lord, that your light has shone into my darkness. Thank you, Lord, that even this morning, even now as I pray, your light is shining in where there's been darkness. You're removing the darkness and filling me afresh with your light. Thank you, all those dark thoughts, all those negative thoughts, all those self-centered thoughts, all those jealous, lustful thoughts. Thank you, Lord, they're all being washed away. The darkness is giving way to your light. All those anxious thoughts, all those things that are not really a reflection of trust in you, but of concern about myself. Thank you, Lord, the light is penetrating, the light of your mercy. Oh, thank you, Lord, that light is going to shine out of me so people will see the goodness of what you are doing in and through me. And they will give glory to you, Lord. Thank you as I let your light shine in me so the light shall shine out of me. Praise you, Jesus. Kora la bakara sitari santo bakara sitari santo. Oh, kakara sitari santo bakara sitari santo. Barata pare asato bakara sitari santo bakara sitari santo. Oh, papara zatare alero bakara sitari santo. O papara zatari alero bakara sitari sandama. O papara zatari alero bakara sitari sandama kala sitari. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now God wants just to release faith in you now. That wherever you go, whoever you speak to, light will shine. Because as you pray for that person, just quietly, the light is going to touch. the darkness in that person's life. Now, that might cause disturbance in them before ever they get through to a place of peace, but something is going to happen.
Yes, amen.
Not because they've been judged, but because something of the mercy of God is touching their hearts. Kukara satari elektrobakara sitarisa. Batapara satobakara sitarisa. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Puratapariya satobakara sitarisa. Tupakara sitarisa. Batapariya elektrobakara sitarisa. Tupakara sitarisa. Mastakala sitari santo bakala sitari santo. Sola lava soturi santo bakala sitari santo. Bozoturi satari elera bakala sitari santo. Basatari eletto bakala sitari santo bakala sitari santo bakala sitari santo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Soto di satari eletto bakala sitari santo. Vaparasato bakala sita. Now let your attitude be that of Jesus. What was his attitude? His attitude was, stuff is going to happen. Things are going to happen. Wherever I go today, things are going to happen. People's lives are going to be touched. People's hearts are going to be touched. Things are going to change in people's circumstances. Hallelujah. What was his attitude? Well, his attitude is expressed in what he said to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Be merciful to one another then. Be merciful. Let's just pray now that, oh, there'll be no negative attitudes, reactions towards anybody. That there'll be such a sense of unity, such a sense of honoring one another, such a sense of loving one another. We will go into this camp as one, as one body. Putapara zatapara setari satari eleto bakara sitapa. Bupara zatari eleto bakara sitari santo. Bosotodi satari eleto bakara sitari santo bakara sitari santo. Bazatapari eleto bakara sitari santo. Vasata para sidri sato bakara sidri san. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Polala la basoto di satari e lero bakara sidri san. Thank you, Lord, that everything you do in us is so that we will be holy in all we do, in fulfillment of your word. In all we do, we will reflect your life, who you are, that you will give a greater revelation of yourself, Lord. Father, I pray that day by day, each one of us in our times with you personally will receive a greater revelation of yourself. And we won't fill our prayer time with words, but we'll sit at your feet. We'll hear your voice. We'll listen to what you're saying. We'll receive from you through your word and by your spirit. Now, Jesus said, the eyes are the light of the body. So just pray now for God to sanctify the use of your eyes, to see people as he sees them. Potaparasataparasitapa. Parataparasato bakarasita de santopa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Paparazatari eletu pakarasitri sandu. Because of his obedience, God the Father has now exalted him to the highest place in heaven and has given him the name that is far superior to any other name. Yes. Every knee in heaven, on earth, and even in the underworld will bow at the name of Jesus. Every tongue will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, for this is the Father's glorious will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We acknowledge that you are Lord, that you're Lord in our lives, you're Lord in our minds, Lord in our thinking, Lord over our attitudes. Thank you for the light of your word, for the light of your spirit. Thank you that you are the light. And you've called us to be light for the world. And we thank you, Lord, that light is going to shine out of us by your mercy, by your grace. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift your voice and begin to worship him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.